The Lord be with you.
Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card and place it in the offering plate as it passes by it later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. Also, a special welcome to those who are watching on Facebook Live. We're glad you're here with worshiping with us this morning, too. At this time, I would encourage all of you who are physically present to sign the friendship pad and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary for your convenience. And at this time, too, I'd also like to encourage you to take a look at your bulletins. We have upcoming announcements in the inside cover and a calendar of events near the back. I would encourage you to make note of a couple of things. One isn't on the announcements, but we're continuing our pattern of Monday morning prayers for the church at 9:30 and Bible study at 10 as we read the Gospel of John. Hope to see many of you there tomorrow morning. You can also see another list of upcoming meetings and events, including a change the date for the group that packs disaster assistance kits. I think probably now important mission in hurricane season. That date has been changed to the 24th and will not be this Tuesday. But now I'd like to offer the chance for any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
Good morning. The Church Guild meeting, which is scheduled for this Wednesday, I am changing until October. It'll be the third Wednesday, which is the 16th. I found that so many of my regular attendees were out at the beach or at the mountains or this place and the other. So I think October will be plenty of time for us to plan Christmas events. But October the 16th.
Thank you, Annelle. We'll be sure that everyone gets their vacations out of their system in the summer next year. Okay. Good. Are there any others? Yes, Jo Beth.
Chance to bring the microphone. Anyone who volunteers with children, we do our annual child protective training, and we've already offered one, which some attended, but if you've not attended, October 6th, I'm double checking my date, October 6th after worship in Hollis Hall, are we? Yes, okay. So if you work with the children, we like you to attend that, and there's also a godly play training. Thank you.
Thanks, Jo Beth. And to all our volunteers, thank you for those of you who are already at work helping. Are there any others? Then let us worship God together, and let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Out of the depths I have cried to you. With my whole heart, I want to praise you. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, but there's forgiveness with you. I will wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And let us pray. Holy God, this is the time, this is the place you have set aside for worship. And so we are here to meet you. Help us to receive the gift of your word. We are reading, singing, praying, and through the hands of the person next to us, that we might realize our connection to the body of Christ and find our life in you. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together we pray. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. It's good to see you all this morning. Andrew, I think we're outnumbered up here. What do you think? Well, good. So I'm going to talk today, or you're going to talk about with me, something we do here at church every week. And I'll give you a hint what it is. What's going on the cover of the bulletin today? What do you see? Yeah, oh, you got it, Lena. Yeah, so put your hands together, and it's someone praying. Do you think we could practice that for just a second? Let's see if we can do it. We can put our hands together. None of you are exempt from this. None of us are beyond practice. Let's put our hands together and close our eyes. Oh, you all are great. Oh, there we go. We got everyone. Good. All right, we're going to do that at the end of our time together. But today I want to talk to you
about a special prayer that's called the Lord's Prayer. Have any of you heard the Lord's Prayer before?
No.
I'll bet some of you have, but you're not in worship for that long, and often we do it when you've already gone upstairs. Does anyone know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, you know, good for you. Maybe you can help me. So in a little bit, we're going to hear a story about Jesus, and his disciples came up to him, and they asked him, we'd like to know how to pray. Can you teach us how to pray? So instead of having them close their eyes and put their hands together, because they already knew how to do that, can you put that away for just a minute?
Okay, Dad.
Okay. He taught them some special words that we're going to go over today. So I'm going to, all right, will you repeat after me? We're not going to pray just yet, but we're going to practice. Are you ready? All right, so Jesus starts, Our Father. Great, none of you are exempted. This is good. Who art in heaven? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. That's great. So I think you're already on your way to knowing it. Maybe it's something that you'll get to practice upstairs too. I don't think it hurt any of us to have to say it again. So you can think, if you ever hear the word prayer and you wonder at church, what does it mean to pray? That's what Jesus taught us to do. And some of us, we're all going to spend our lives trying to figure out exactly what all those things mean. But I appreciate your help in teaching this important part of prayer to everyone out there too. So as we close, we're going to say it again, but you're not going to repeat after me. You're going to do your best to say it with me. Do you think you can do that? Yeah. All right. Well, how are we going to practice? Are we going to put down our toys and put our hands together and close our eyes? All right. Well, let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all. Can you hold still for just a second while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some men for us and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him. and fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with a sword. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And this week continues a sermon series on worship. What does it mean to come here every week and listen to a word from God? What difference does it make in our lives of faith? How are we called to respond? We respond in worship and we respond in prayer. In prayer, we seek deeper communion with God through articulations of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and petition. Sometimes we simply wait in silence for the presence of God. Prayer can be many things, which is precisely what makes it a difficult habit to acquire. This is why it's a part of worship. We can do it better together. Worship is the place where we grow our relationships with God, and prayer is an important part of that. We pray it here so we can learn how to do it out there, even in the midst of busyness and distraction and our desire to put our lives to productive ends. Prayer resists all of that. And the point is, it's reliance on something or someone else. God. Prayer, we discover the promise of God who meets us and in Jesus Christ prays for us too. The Jesus disciples have always wondered how to pray. Today in the Gospel of Luke, they ask him directly, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's one of the prayers that God always answers. So from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, listen for God's word to you. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we are here for a word from you. No other word will do. Be present in silence and speech, in the deep communion of prayer, that we would hear your voice and no other, and discover our life in you as disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. The other day, I sat down to pray. I don't say this is the first line in the sermon to make myself seem especially virtuous. I have the added inducement to pray because it's a part of my job description. Though I do remember the story of one pastor who got in trouble with congregants because he was continuously seen sleeping at his desk. They didn't realize that he was praying. So I was praying the other day, and as is prone to happen when I'm praying, my mind wandered. I spilled a little coffee, and so I had to clean it up. And then I was writing down some thoughts in the daily lectionary reading and realized that my email was open, and so I saw one alert pop up on the computer screen or an email, and I had 2 seconds to answer it, so that was great. I had the psychic benefit of having accomplished something tangible, which is a feeling prayer doesn't often engender. But I was about to close my eyes when another Outlook notice appeared and told me that my calendar had prescribed only 15 more minutes for my devotional time, and I needed to start working through the pile of things on my desk, and so I really buckled down, closed my eyes this time, and then felt a buzz in my pocket, which was a text telling me that I forgot to switch out the car seats that morning, and would I mind doing that when I came home from lunch? And I said, okay, and I put my phone on silent before seeing another reminder pop up for an event that for some reason wasn't happening for 3 days but still showed up on my phone. And then my mind wandered a little bit more, so I finally put the phone in the desk drawer and I closed it, but I was already thinking about the schedule for my day and obligations for school pickup and after work errands, and there was an idea I had for a sermon and I had to write it down before I could get back to praying because those things just go in one ear and out the other, I'm sure you understand. And then I finally settled down and did some deep breathing and said a few perfunctory words and an amen. Mission accomplished, I said a prayer. Maybe this has happened to you too. And when we pray, we often feel good about it. Look at me, I'm actually doing it this time. And then the thousands of distractions, our emails, our phones, our wandering minds conspire to cut through it as quickly as possible so that we check off that one list on the day so we can, that one item on the day so we can get through the list of everything else. Maybe this has happened to you. Maybe this has happened to you so much that you wonder what's the point. You stop praying altogether. What's the point when nothing happens and it's just one more thing you have to get through and you're slightly anxious because you don't do it that well? Or what's the point when that anxiety is confronting the deep inadequacy of your own soul before the silence of God? What's the point when something meant to be holy and profound becomes rote and pointless? What
happens when it's just another distraction in a world full of them. Maybe you stopped praying altogether. Maybe you never really started, because who even prays anymore? Who has the time or the intention or the expectation that anything will happen, that talking in your head feels foolish? At least the mindfulness exercises encouraged by your work-based healthcare plan promote neurological benefits that boost your professional productivity. You can't say that about prayer. So what I'm going to say today should be pretty obvious from someone standing up here, and that is you should pray. Prayer, says Karl Barth, is an imperative of the Christian life, and there aren't all that many imperatives. And then we hear something like that, realize our own inadequate patterns, and we think, well, what does that look like? A few half-hearted, mumbled words, I can do that. Or what if God wants something more polished from us, like a performance, like all those people at church who seem to know what they're doing in Bible study and were born praying like that, and this is the standard you're holding me to? How do I even begin? Where do I start? C.S. Lewis says there's no wrong place for prayer. But maybe it's the infinite possibility of sitting where you are right now and wondering. It makes you think, how in the world can I do this? What do I say? Lord, teach us to pray. That this is a request from Jesus' first disciples should normalize the anxiety for all of us. By this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' disciples have been following him for some time. They've seen him exorcise demons and heal the sick and challenge religious authorities and pronounce the word of God in new and profound ways. And then maybe they've also noticed this habit that Jesus does, that in the midst of all his work, he often goes off by himself to a deserted place and he prays. And now the disciples are wondering what that looks like for them. Maybe they wonder if Jesus' power, if his closeness to God can be theirs too. The time has come. And they steel themselves. They come up to Jesus. They ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And they add the reason as if they need to goad him into it. John taught his disciples to pray. It's like saying, Mommy, Daddy gives us ice cream. But Jesus doesn't need convincing. He offers the familiar words of the Lord's Prayer, Father, hallowed be your name. You probably know this prayer. Even if you're new to church or new to a church that keeps this practice, or even if you have a bad memory, it's printed right in the bulletin. I told myself as I was doing that with the children, thinking, don't forget right now. Maybe you learned it in Sunday school long ago and it stuck, or you probably learned it doing what you'll do just today, which is announcing it, proclaiming it in the presence of others in the context of worship. You say the prayer with brothers and sisters together, as an acknowledgement that Jesus is still teaching his people how to pray. The notable pastor and writer Eugene Peterson said that every once in a while people would come to him with this kind of question. They asked, how can we pray? How can we learn how to do it? And his prescription was always the same, not go off by yourself and pray, but come to worship. This is where you learn. This is where you learn that the God who speaks is also the God who listens. God actively engages each of us in our own lives through forgiving and helping, challenging and redeeming, and that often this work is accomplished through prayer. It's also where you learn with the help of a grounded and rooted tradition that there are other people who have come here and asked just this same question, Lord, teach us to pray. And they've received answers along the way. The answers are in worship books and prayer journals. They're printed in the bulletin and sung in hymns. They appear in psalms with hearts poured out in gratitude and penitence and worry and praise. The tradition doesn't leave us alone to mumble our emotional states into the void. That's not what prayer is. We have well-worn paths that can teach you how to pray in words or in silence. It doesn't have to be that difficult. The writer Anne Lamott is notable for condensing all of Christian teaching on prayer into three short words: help, thanks, and wow. This direction also appears with Jesus, who crystallizes all of this theology and tradition of prayer into instruction in a few short verses, slightly longer than Lamott's. Jesus says, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Do not lead us into the time of trial." That's it. That's all you need to say. Other words will come, other lessons, other voices, but in the beginning, from the mouth of the Savior, the voice of God, this is enough. Luke's version may be a little bit different than the one we say every week, and maybe you're still puzzling over the difference between debts and trespasses. But the Lord's Prayer, which appears twice in Scripture, once in Matthew, once here, follows the same basic trajectory that reveals the pattern of prayer I've already mentioned. It's the praise of God poured out in adoration for the one who is holy. It's thanksgiving for the daily bread that God provides. It's confession for the ways we hurt others and help for parts of life that confront us. All taxonomies like this are oversimplifications, but if you went through all the prayers of Scripture and the Psalms, you might find a repeat of these themes reflective of our lives brought before God in close communion and worship. Lord, teach us to pray. And lo and behold, God has. And words like these, words we repeat to one another, words that get written on our hearts through repetition, ready when we need them for the wonder and awe and pain of life. But these words aren't the end of prayer. We learn from Jesus so that Jesus' words appear in our own hearts as we offer them to God, so that at some point, all of our prayers become, as Jesus did, "not my will, but yours." It's in prayers like these that God changes us, not so that we get the things that we want, but so that we learn what God wants for us, which is more than we can ask or imagine. To want to pray like Jesus is a sign that God is already at work in us. And that's why we pray together in worship. Because even though it's just an element of worship, it's the admission that none of us is sufficient in ourselves. None of us have the inner resources for close communion with God without recognizing that together we are the body of Christ, that we bear the image of Christ to one another. We pray for one another just as God in Christ prays for us. So what happens here then, it's not the end. It's not the simple destination where our thoughts are poured out and our problems are resolved. It's an invitation to life with God, where the prayer always grows and develops so that the line between us and God gradually becomes erased, and so that with all of our lives, all that we are ever asked for are comprised in something like the prayer of Jesus. It's found in the Lord's Prayer, but maybe as we grow, as we change, we find that the Lord's Prayer has more than we thought originally. Maybe for you, it could sound something like this: Father, God who is near and close to us as parent and child, hallowed be your name. You are holy above all things, and we can only approach you through the grace of your Son and the presence of your Spirit and all the worship our feeble hearts can muster. Your kingdom come. We wish above all things that this world is what you envision, what you created it to be, and we know that it's not. We know that we are part of the mess, but we hold out hope that even in the darkness of hatred and violence and injustice and greed, that you are working for the restoration of all things through the grace of Jesus Christ, your Son, and his broken body, the church. Give us each day our daily bread. We ask that you would provide for us, as you always have, enough to satisfy us, but not so much that we would think ourselves too great and above the need of your help or grace. As we pray this prayer, we know too that there are others who are deprived of their daily bread. And knowing in this creation there is always more to share, we ask that you would provide for others, if only through us, in our imperfect efforts. Forgive our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. That's a hard one. We don't always forgive everyone indebted to us, and that's our sin. We think too highly of ourselves, and if we judged our own lives by the standards with which we judged others, we might be hesitant to ask this, and we would never even dare say it. But we know that in your redeeming and reconciling love that you have forgiven us, by your grace and help, we might forgive others with the borrowed compassion of your cross. And do not bring us to the time of trial. That's what often life feels like. It's full of challenges, challenges that we're unequal to, illness and loss, grief and struggle. We ask that you bring us through safely, or if not unscathed, at least welcomed into your arms on the other side of the cross. You can repeat Jesus' prayer 100 times, and maybe it's on the 101st time that you realize there's a little bit more to it, and that you've been praying these things all along, and you didn't even know it, but that there's something within you growing from roots in your soul you didn't even know were there. You realize through prayers like these how deeply God knows you and loves you, and that this is the God who prays for you. That this is how Jesus prays for you. Then you realize, perhaps even more startlingly, that you have heard an answer in God's own voice, and that you know God too. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, in the stillness of this place, of this moment, we speak to you in hope, trusting that in the compassionate love of Jesus, your Son, you hear us and are already at work to write the prayers of our hearts into the story of creation by the power of your Spirit. Awaken that same Spirit within us for honest repentance, joyous praise, grateful thanksgiving, and humble petition, that in this time of prayer we would draw closer to you, just as by your Son and Spirit, you were always drawing closer to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, in this world of activity and lives of busyness, it is sometimes hard to pause and remember. And this is the place for remembering. We remember how you were before all things, how you called and cared for a people, how even in the midst of wandering and disobedience, you became flesh and dwelt among your people, full of grace and truth. We worship you in this truth. Forgive us for not pausing to remember in all that we can in the midst of all our worry and need. And we thank you that we have this one place of Sabbath and rest set apart so that we can remember and enter into something like the eternity of your love. So let your love cover our church in its worship, in its teaching, in its care for children, in its hospitality and welcome, in its mission and compassion for the community, in its nurture and encouragement of your people as we pray and grow in you. Lord, in your mercy. God, in our prayers, we know that there are things in this world in need of nothing less than your presence and action. For places of pain and grief, places of darkness and doubt. We know those in our lives who suffer, who carry things with them that are hardly ever named. And so we name them to you now in the silence of our hearts. God be with those in our church who are sick. For Greg George, as he continues to await healing with a new kidney, give him courage and patience. We pray for Fran Lewis in her illness and ask for a swift recovery and a time of rest. We pray for those in our family in need of recovery and for caregivers and the high calling they have to offer your love in thousands of unseen ways. Give all these your encouragement, your healing, and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we worship here in knowledge that there are those in this world who do not have the opportunity to know you or know you in safety.
We know that there are some who cannot worship because they have to work and cannot mark the Sabbath you intend because of the things of life. We know that there are some who cannot worship because of the threat where they live and danger. We know there are some who cannot worship because they have been denied access to your house. We know that there are some who cannot worship because the church has been a place of hurt rather than one of healing. Lord, for all these, we ask your abundant love and the presence of your peace. We know that you meet us here, and we know that you've promised to meet us wherever we go. So we ask your presence in times and in lives like these. Lord, in your mercy. These and all our prayers we offer in Jesus Christ, the one who prays before you. We ask in the confidence that you hear us, in the way Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, but forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power, the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude for the God who hears us, let us return our thanks by our offerings and gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, for the gifts of this creation, for all you have entrusted into our care, and above all for your presence with us and your Son and your Spirit, we give you thanks. We ask your blessing on what we return to you this day, trusting that in our hands you entrust grace to share, to offer, that your love would be made known and grow, that others might have more to share too. We pray in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Pray. As you have prayed in here, go out and pray in the world, trusting that God is listening. God has promised to meet you, and that in Jesus Christ, God prays for you too. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.